Hi, do you like this show? Support it today at patreon.com/frogpants.
Hey, Scott. Deckard Cain here, calling for the Boop Show. Boop indeed.
This is the Boop Show, finally. Some gaming news you can use for August 8th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. Let's go. August 8th, damn it. Did I say 8th or did I say 18th? I heard my voice in retrospect say 18th, and I did not mean that, obviously. It's not that deep into the month. Come on, man. I'm only a week and a couple of days behind. Welcome to the first post Nerdtacular Boop Show. As it turns out, when I have that big event that I hold here in Salt Lake City every year, it kind of kills the week after in a way that is disconcerting and frustrating. Because I really do want to do a show. It isn't that I don't want to. And I've been on plenty of other shows since. Been on Patrick's Pixel Show. You guys should check that out. We had a great discussion about Gamescom coverage the other day. 2 days ago. Yesterday. Whatever it was. And, I don't know. Look, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't happy to be back, because I totally am. But I've been so busy and behind on everything, and even Gamescom itself kind of was a bit of a blur, because I've been playing catch-up, got a big Kickstarter book to fulfill. There's just been a lot going on. Look, I'm not here to make excuses, all right? I'm here to make a show, and to talk to you fine people. Who are you calling you fine people? Anyway, hey, look at this. I have only had, I've had very little game time since I got back. I have had time for two things. Well, I have been playing an iPad game whose name escapes me at the moment. Anyway, it's really good. Turn-based. Kind of turn-based strategy game mixed with card play. Somebody told me it's very much like a very popular tabletop game right now, and I can't remember any of this. See, again, the week is kind of ruining me. But I've only really had extensive time, or not extensive time, but whatever game time I've had has been devoted to both Heroes of the Storm and Rocket League. Heroes of the Storm still in the, well, I guess it's in the waning hours of its Diablo theme, but, messing about with King Leoric and honing my skills with StarCraft characters, funny enough. I've been playing a lot of Zagara and Tassadar, because he's the man. He's probably my favorite hero right now. I know I float around. I know, you know, for a while there, Thrall was my man, and still is. I like Thrall a lot. Look, if you're gonna tell me that Thrall's available to play, I'm not gonna turn you down. All right, but between Thrall, Vala, and a few of the other my regulars, at the moment anyway. Tassadar is just, phew, man, I can harass my opponents in ways that I could only have dreamed of in years past. And the fact that he's, spoiler alert, dead since the last expansion to StarCraft II, in the lore, he does not exist anymore. He made a great sacrifice for his people. I do have hope that Blizzard never really kills off anybody. It's like DC Comics or Marvel Comics in a way. Those characters are always coming back, so I have hope that somehow in Legacy of the Void, there'll be a great grand resurrection of Tassadar, one of the finest characters of all time. He'll say, "I'm back for the honor of Ire. Get over here and let me wreak my revenge upon the people and the Zerg people. I don't know you." Oh, he's the best. Anyway, playing the hell out of that and loving it. Our tournament, the Heroes of the Pants tournament is in full swing. Some major games went down last night. We're now moving into the semis and the playoffs and all that stuff, which begins very soon. So I think even next, maybe even this Sunday we have a big game. Anyway, also Rocket League. Plenty of Rocket League. And I wanted to bring up something about Rocket League. Been talking about it a lot. You've been hearing it on other shows, I'm sure. Podcasts have been all crazy for this game. It's still number one on Steam and continues to do well on PlayStation 4 and all that. And they're planning on supporting the hell out of it. They've sold more than 6 million copies or some crazy number. Their concurrent users online have been way over what they ever expected. A pretty big success. They're now talking about additional platforms. My prediction is you'll see this on Xbox One, and that will also be cross-play with everybody, I hope. I don't know how Microsoft does their stuff with that. I think that would be no different. So hopefully a lot of that will be happening. I don't know if they'll ever get friending across platforms, because that would imply that Steam would have to talk to PSN and PSN would have to talk to Xbox Live, and they would all have to dive together in order to friend up and compete with each other across those platforms. So my prediction is no way in hell. I don't think that's possible, but having them play each other via these servers is very nice. And so I'm glad that's still there. Again, you can't really pick it and say, well, I want to play against my buddy. That's the problem. It's very random. And as far as I've known, no, I've never played a single friend across the platforms. I know I've played other people on the other platforms one way or the other, but I don't think I've ever known anyone. So it's very random. They came out and said this is interesting. They're going to add crazy different maps in the future. That's their words, crazy different maps. Now, whenever I read changes to Rocket League, I get a little nervous. Kind of probably the way, you know, League of Legends or Dota 2 people get nervous. They're like, oh no, they're changing a thing that could fundamentally affect why you love your game so much, right? And they're claiming that down the line, Psyonix is the name of the company, want to add a little diversity. The maps right now are basically just big, long soccer maps, right? Goal on each end, rectangular, boom. Got a dome, there's grass, you know, maybe people in the stands, and then there's a version where they're all outside, and then there's a version where there's nobody there at all, and it's at night or whatever, but pretty much the same layout. And what they want to do is mess around with it. So, like, there's a horseshoe map, for example. So imagine the map just bent in a horseshoe in a curve, and your goals are on each end of the curve of a horseshoe. Makes sense, right? Once I started to dig into some of those ideas and realized they weren't getting too gimmicky with it, I think I'm okay with it. I think I'm okay with it. In the same way that I'm okay with multiple map types, size, number of lanes, and all of that in Heroes of the Storm versus, say, a different MOBA, which was a concern in the beginning, but now I really prefer that. I like the diversity. So anyway, if you have been playing Rocket League or you're a fan at all, crank it up a notch, because we're about to get some interesting stuff. All right, we got a lot of news. I had a struggle with myself to decide what news to do, because the week of Nerdtacular, both leading up and after, there was a lot going on, this Gamescom stuff and everything else. And I thought, well, do I go back and try to just rehash everything that's come before? You guys don't want that. That sounds terrible. So I tried to just get a snapshot of what's happening right now, like I always do. No better time than the present, right? Hit the ground running. Rubber meets the road. I'm not going to backtrack too much. But I will tell you that World of Warcraft is down to 5.6 million subscriptions. That is 44 point something percent since the launch of Warlords of Draenor, which came out November, right? Week after BlizzCon. So I think they're counting since the first of the year, which is where things kind of spiked. And a lot of people are very, negative, like, on this. Some people are worried about it. I actually have a pretty pragmatic opinion of it. Here's what I actually think is happening, because they not only use Gamescom to announce a new expansion, but they announced a much earlier beta. Here's what I think is going to happen. I could be dead wrong, but I think that they are finally going to get into a production groove that means much more frequent updates to the game in form of expansions and patches. I think that the 2-year gap is no longer going to do it from release to next expansion's release. And it doesn't matter how much stuff they try to insert in between all of that. I think that they really want to make that, they want to freshen that thing faster. They want to do it quicker. And I think that is to adhere to the new business realities that they're facing, which is that, I mean, here's how it'll go, right? So they announced the new game. It's called Legion, World of Warcraft Legion. You could argue they're returning to the well a few too many times here. It's got, you know, Illidan in it. Hey, guess what, guys? Illidan. Somehow, being there's a teaser trailer, but somehow being released from his jade prison rock thing by the very man slash orc Gul'dan, whose skull he had to take to or consume or whatever to become the demon hunter lord man that he is anyway. A little bit confusing, right? I know there's an alternate timeline at play here, so there's some potential interesting things happening story-wise, but really they're kind of returning to stuff you already know. And honestly, can you blame them? I mean, these are the characters and story things that we like. You know, I would not be shocked if they return to some sort of Lich King, maybe not Arthas, but some sort of Lich King storyline next. Just kind of keep repeating. Just repeat the previous expansions in a new way. I don't know. A lot of people are very upset about that too, but I'm pragmatic. Anyway, what was my point? I think that, and I went into this on The Instance this week, definitely worth listening to. We did a live commentary episode of the Gamescom announcement as it happened. I think that was fun and really interesting. We'll do that again whenever they have another announcement like that. So we go into much more detail there, but I'll just say this. They know that when they release a new expansion, regardless of what it's called, in this case, Legion, a lot of green going on in this expansion, by the way. If you go to the website, you'd be like, whoa. It's like the old, the Xbox, the original Xbox logo, green, just green everywhere. They'll sell it. It'll sell a bunch. They'll peak their numbers up again. Let's say those numbers go up to 7.5, 8 million again, right? A few million. Let's say 2 million, 3 million more people. They sub back up. They get the new expansion. They play that content. And they do that vigorously for like 3 or 4 months. And then they start to fall off again. It's the normal pattern. I think it's what they expect. There's always the hardcores that are always there no matter what, right? My subscription won't lapse. It's just going to always be there. Those people are always there. But there's this rotating group that will come back for new content, take off when they felt like they've spent through it, and then they'll come back again. Right now, they're being asked to do that every 2 years, and I think Blizzard wants to up that game and have it happen more frequently, not just for the money, but also for just retaining interest in where the game's headed. So I think that's their plan, because normally they would have saved this announcement for BlizzCon 2015. Instead, they did it well early, in early August, as opposed to mid-November. My bet is there is an open beta at BlizzCon, and then that thing gets released spring or quarter one of 2016. I think that's the new churn. And I think it's out of both this desire on their part from a creative standpoint. They've wanted to do a quicker turnaround anyway. But I also think there are business realities now in place that make it a necessity for that game to retain itself or to maintain itself in a world that is ever-changing in video games, right? This in addition to all the other stuff Blizzard's up to. So anyway, if you want to get more in-depth conversation about that and the specifics about the expansion, why, head on over to theinstance.net and subscribe. No Crackdown 3 in 2016. Microsoft has clarified that the entire version of Crackdown 3 will not be available in 2016. But a multiplayer, probably beta, will be playable. They don't say beta, but they're like, man, but the multiplayer will be available. I think that means beta testing period thing. Crackdown 3, of course, mentioned, was it E3 this year or the E3 before? No, I don't remember. Is it this year? When did they show that? Well, anyway, what doesn't matter. They showed a lot more. But I don't think you see Crackdown till the proper Crackdown, the one you want to play, until 2017, which is unfortunate. That's a game, I mean, I want them to take their time and don't rush it, but that's the game. I loved Crackdown 1 and 2. I think Crackdown 3 might have been the tipping point for me to finally get an Xbox One. I talked to Patrick on Pixels about that, and you know, there's some other stuff coming too, but that's one of them for sure. That would have been a driving factor. So I don't know if that is for you, if you're still on the fence or not. But you'll have until 2016 to find out if the multiplayer is any good, and then 2017 to play the damn game. Heroes of the Storm could limit map rotation to avoid complexity. This was also announced at BlizzCon. They added Rexxar, by the way. So Rexxar is coming. Check this out. So Rexxar, you know, if you're playing Hearthstone, you know who Rexxar is. If you played WoW for a long time and you know the lore there and Warcraft 3 and stuff, you know who Rexxar is. He's great. One of the great Warcraft characters of all time. Highly underused in World of Warcraft, in my opinion. Although he does appear in this new expansion. But he is, or the current expansion. He's just awesome. And I love him in Heroes, or in Hearthstone for for what he is. You know, he's basically a portrait. But that appears to be the art that they're using for the inspiration for his incarnation in Heroes of the Storm. We don't know when he's coming out. We know we have at least the monk left for the Diablo theme stuff. We have, is it Arctanis? I forgot now. Who's the new, well, anyway, the new melee Protoss tanky dude, warrior class that's coming. First warrior class in the StarCraft Heroes lineup. He'll be here. You get him for free if you pre-ordered Legacy of the Void. So I don't know if that means we're getting it when Legacy ships or if we're getting him before that. I don't know. I don't think they've said. Maybe they haven't. I missed it. But then we got Rexxar. And Rexxar, obviously very interesting. Big, bulky, thick-looking version of Rexxar. It's him and Misha, his bear. Plays a big role in him, the way he works as a hero. I don't know how the micro works on that yet. Nobody really knows. But anyway, a lot of your abilities seem to have to do with the bear. And he is a warrior class, not a ranged assassin, which is very odd, or not even a specialist. He is going full warrior with this. And that's interesting. If you know the game and you understand kind of the meta right now, I don't know. It's an odd role for him to fill. I'm trying to think of another character in the game who is stranger in his fit than he is. It's very odd, but I think he looks fun and I can't wait to try him. And of course I'll get him because I'm an idiot and I buy everything they make. So that'll be coming soon. Also, they showed off the new medic yesterday. Check out this medic. So it's a girl, right, from the StarCraft universe. And she looks like, you know, a big armored up medic. One of her heroics allows her to transport her team inside of a medevac dropship. So think about that for a second. A coordinated team. I don't know what the other ultimate is. Heroic, they call them in this game. I keep saying ultimate. I don't know what the other one is, but this one would presume that the other one is more of a solo thing. So if you're solo queuing or something and you don't know how smart your team is or how much they might appreciate what you can do, that, you know, you don't want to spend your heroic on something they're not going to be able to take advantage of. But being able to all load up into that thing and fly over to a weak spot near the core in a quick fashion, everyone at once sort of thing, that's actually kind of amazing. So I'm jazzed about whatever she brings to the table. And it is interesting to see them focusing so much on healers and warriors right now. I think that they need to beef up those rosters and get more people playing heroes, or rather warriors and healers, so that they can kind of, I don't know, balance things out. So anyway, that's all coming. Bottom line, I didn't even get to the point. They say that they've heard some, quote, feedback from a lot of players that our game has become too complicated and too difficult for them to really master, and there are simply too many battlegrounds to play at one moment. This according to Dustin Browder. He went on to say, in many games they're used to, there's one map or a couple of maps. Now we've got 9, and that is a concern, he says. We're certainly open to feedback on there, and there may be a point in the future, I got to read this right. I don't know when this would happen, he says, where we might go with a smaller set and rotate them over time. We might also have a season or a month or a couple of weeks with only a selected few maps available. I hope what they do is end up giving people more control over that. Like a map voting system would be pretty cool. So let both teams, and let's say it's a quick match, all 10 of you just vote. We've done this in multiplayer for years. That will also help them know which maps getting picked the most and how to balance other ones so they get picked more, that kind of thing. And then notice how nobody picks mines ever again because mines are terrible. John Wick first-person shooter VR game coming from the Payday developer. They're busy, aren't they? They got stuff going on. They're also doing the Walking Dead shooter, right? Pretty sure that's them. Starbreeze. Yeah, it's Starbreeze. Anyway, teaser version of the game will be launched for HTC's Vive. There's only one. Later this year. Did you see John Wick? I did. I really enjoyed John Wick. Thought it was good, but I don't know about making a shooter based on it, but whatever. It's fine. Here's the quote. John Wick will be the perfect cross-platform property to extend into the fastly growing gaming world. Fastly growing, that's a weird quote. And we believe that a cutting-edge VR game will deepen fan excitement and acceleration for John Wick's evolution into one of our next big action franchises, says Lionsgate Film executive producer Peter Levin. He said in a sentence, or a statement, that is also a sentence. It will be developed by WEVR, or Wever, I guess how you say it, and There's also a mobile company called VR Studio Grab. Grab, I guess, is the name of the studio. And then Starbreeze will act as the publisher and have some consulting. So I guess Starbreeze isn't actually developing it. But didn't also Starbreeze make... Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't have time to look it up because we're doing a show here. But didn't Starbreeze make a VR thing they showed off at E3? Like, kind of came out of nowhere and said, we purchased so-and-so, and here's our weird headset, and it's okay, I guess. And we'll work with our games, right? Am I remembering that wrong? I swear I heard that. Fallout 4 is going to let you keep playing after the story ends, and about 400 hours as well. Good Lord. So there's 400 hours of playable content, and then one would assume you could go even beyond that. Now think for a minute, 400 hours. If you played that straight, let's just do a little math here, okay? 400 divided by 24. Why, that's 16.6 straight days of games. That's a lot of gaming. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say if Fallout 4 is good, then you'll get a lot of bang for your $60. I think that's fair to say. The Uncharted movie has a release date. Oh my gosh, this thing's finally getting made. I don't know how I feel about it, but we'll see. The Naughty Dog acclaimed action series, you know the one, Uncharted, finally got a release date. It was rumored to debut sometime in 2016, but now it has all changed. Sony announced this week via Variety magazine the film is now scheduled to hit theaters June 30th, 2017. So probably about a year after one would have expected it to come out in 2016. Lots of rumors flying about who's in it, who would star, who plays extra characters. There was a rumor floating around yesterday that I saw that Robert De Niro would play Sully. Good Lord, man. Actually, it may work. That might be all right. You guys, I mean, what's your temperature on that? I don't know how I feel about that yet. Time will tell. Don't expect Witcher 4 anytime soon, says CD Projekt's Marcin Iwinski. Sounds like he plays forward for the Canucks or something, right? Sounds like a hockey name. Anyway, he said in the September issue of Game Informer that they don't know yet. He says, honestly speaking, we do not have a plan. It said earlier that Witcher 3 would be the last game in the series, at least with Geralt or Geralt. Geralt, come on, Scott. Jeff, get it straight. But if there's going to be another game, you'd have to think it'd be a different hero, right? But either way, there's no near future plan. So currently, CD Projekt Red, that team, is focused on its upcoming, I guess you could call it dystopian RPG, the Cyberpunk 2077. I have not paid near enough attention to that, but I'm actually kind of jazzed about it. I told you what we're doing now is we're shifting from a fantasy-focused industry to sci-fi again. We're going to pay a little bit more attention to the sci-fi end of things for a while. And I'm fine with that. It swings back and forth. It's totally good. Enjoy both of the swings. Get into the groove. But we are headed into sci-fi time. Across the board, it's all about Star Citizen and Eve picking up more players and space games being on top again. Shooters and whatnot. I'm telling you, this is where we're going. You don't believe me? You can lick my third nipple. Blizzard revealed Overwatch's new music-themed character, and I don't like it. I can't believe I'm saying this, because so far Overwatch has not shown me a single thing I don't like, but I really don't like this character. And just on the surface of it, purely an aesthetic thing, I've watched the gameplay videos, I've seen, you know, what he does and how it works, and I just cannot stand this idea that Lucio is a rhythm-themed character whose attacks appear to be related to music. He's got a gun with like a subwoofer speaker on it, and he's like skating around on like laser skates. And I don't like it. He looks like Eddie Gordo from Tekken married Jet Set Radio, and they had a baby, and then Lucio was born, and I don't like it. His weapon is called the Sonic Amplifier, shoots bursts of energy at enemies, they say, has two firing modes. First is a four-round burst, second is a massive knockback round, and he also heals. So he can jump and move on walls and stuff like that with these skates, a few other things. Area of effect attack, big shield increase their survivability. Anyway, it seems like he's a pretty good support class for his for his other team or for the rest of his team. And the game needs that, obviously. But I guess everything else in the game seems like heroes, like actual, you know, this is supposed to be a world of heroes. Overwatch is a organization of heroes and villains. And he just seems like a goof nut. A DJ isn't a hero. He's just a DJ. Am I wrong to feel that way? I think it's goofy and I'm not stoked about it. New Legend of Zelda? New Legends of... Legend of Zelda 3DS release date was announced. The Triforce Heroes. You know the ones got the Lady Zeldas in it. Or the Lady Links. October 23rd. Nintendo announced yesterday. So, are you jazzed about that? I kind of am. I'm in the mood for some new stuff on the 3DS. It was announced E3 June 2015, so this was new. I missed that whole announcement. But it's a, as they call it, quote, a co-op puzzle-solving monster-battling game with an emphasis on crafting different outfits with different stats. And you can, I assume you can play it by yourself, but if you want, you can group up with three friends to conquer dungeons. That's four of you. And even though there are all these different heroes and different costumes to wear, you can't play as a lady, so they've been taking some heat for that. Why would that be? Why can't I play as a lady, Link? What's wrong with that? Seems all right. Anyway, October, write it down. It's coming. It's happening. Help, help, it's happening. Cities Skylines has its first expansion, and they decided to go dark. Dark. Not really. It just has a day-night cycle. It's called Skylines After Dark. It sounds like a... screensaver in 1993. Developer Colossal Order announced at publisher Paradox Interactive's Gamescom press conference yesterday that the update to the SimCity killer, quote, is all about day and night cycles, unquote. It's not just a visual feature, they say. It affects the simulation because we all know we have to behave a little different in day than we do at night. So one would assume crime goes up, bars and restaurants stay open late. That affects neighborhoods. Drunk dudes walking around the neighborhood's probably kind of bad. And there are perils to the nightlife. That's interesting, right? I think so. That's a great game. I need to play more of it. That I know. This I know. Hey, guess what I know? I need to play more of that game. All right, dig down deep into your pockets and pull out emails and calls, because that's what we're going to listen to next. You guys send us your calls at 801-471-0462, and you plant your emails right there at boopshow@gmail.com. I'm going to start with calls, and it begins with this.
Hey, Scott. This is Jenny from Oklahoma. This is for the Boop Show. I was watching the North American Open for Hots this past weekend, and in the chat, I saw something interesting. This guy was telling another dude, don't buy insert hero name here with gold because it's GIMP. Buy it with real money. And I was just wondering your thoughts on that, if there's any tidbit of truth in that statement. I've already poured a bunch of money into the game, not going to lie. So, you know, no skin off my nose, but what's your thoughts? Love the show. Boop.
Okay, I don't get the whole GIMP thing. It's the same character whether you buy it with money or gold. So I don't understand why they'd say it's GIMP. What they do is they usually with a new character, they jack up the gold price for that first week. So, for example, if you bought Leoric last, was it 2 weeks ago now or a week and a half ago? He was 15,000 gold and $10. Now, when they all come out, they're always $10 for the dollar amount. But when they're new, they always are 15,000 gold. And the next week, the very next week, usually, maybe there may be some variation there, but usually the very next week, they drop down to 10,000 gold. So it's either $10 or 10,000 gold. And then, you know, later in the life cycle of the game, characters go on sale all the time for less money or less gold. But for the most part, it's $10, 10,000. Unless it's new, then it's 15,000 gold and $10. So maybe what they mean is spend the 10,000, or it's better to spend the $10 than 15,000 if you've got to have that character today. And I kind of agree with that. And that's what I've been doing. But there's no gimping going on. And I think that's the word you said was gimp. That the characters are gimped, but I don't know what that would mean. And if I got that word wrong, I apologize. I think the phone call may have been at fault there. But anyway, very curious what other people think. Do you just shell out the... I have plenty of gold and I'll use it, but I guess my biggest... I only have one monetary complaint about Heroes, and that is that the what do you call it? The master skins, the skins that you only unlock by hitting level 10, a big achievement in the game. It takes forever to get there. Once you finally hit it, it's a big deal, but you still have to pay 10,000 gold to unlock it. I think they should just unlock it 10. It's hard work. All the other skins you get, you have to either pay for or earn in some other way. Well, pay for, really. I think you should be able to just get that master skin by hitting 10. By virtue of hitting 10, it should be yours. Kind of bugs me that they make you double up on that. Outside of that, I don't mind it.
Hey, Scott. Aaron Walker here from Cedar Park, Texas for The Boop Show. Longtime listener, first-time caller. About your discussion on esports, I found a video on YouTube that has a lot of good information on it, and I wanted to share it with the whole Boop Show community. It pretty much breaks down how esports should be considered the same as other sports. So the channel is The Game Theorist, and the video is Why ESPN is Wrong About Esports. Anyway, love the show.
All right, worth checking out. I did watch a chunk of that. And just generally, I'll tell you why they're all wrong. Everyone who says esports is dumb and a fad and is going away, the reason that they're wrong is follow the money, dude. Like, when your esports event, like the Dota 2 International, has more prize money attached to it than the Masters and the U.S. Open and, like, 10 other big, giant, quote-unquote, mainstream sporting events combined, we're talking about some serious cash. And as a result, that talks and that means progress and that means things are happening. I hate to say it, but that is simply the truth. It's really nothing else. The money is all you need to follow in this case. Because that's just the way this works. Also, if golf is going to be as big as it is, I think it's very difficult. I think golf is amazing and I love it and I like playing it and I like watching people play it. And I think the best people in golf amaze me. But they're playing in a lot of ways no differently than a really good game of international poker or a really good game of Dota 2 or a really good game of Heroes of the Storm or Hearthstone or whatever. StarCraft 2. Dota, whatever. League of Legends, whatever, right? We're not talking about basketball. We're not talking about football. We're not talking about a strenuous, sweaty, go out there and kill yourself sport. We're talking about a precision sport where you can kind of be a little bit of an older fat guy and play it. I mean, let's be honest. That's just true. And that's fine. You can be Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer, though, is not going to go and play football for the Raiders and win any Super Bowl rings, is he? Neither is some kid in Korea playing StarCraft 2 at the top of his game. I think it's just a natural evolution of how we play. And then people who rail against that stuff are just old and lame, for lack of a better way of putting it.
I just wanted to know, what do you do when you're in a gaming funk of sorts? What do you do? Anyways, just want to know what you think.
All right, I get a lot of questions about what do I do when I get into a gaming funk. Gaming funk meaning, I don't want to play this. Brr, I don't want to play that. Okay, how about I play Skyrim? Oh, that takes too long to get into. Man, I'll be here for hours. Man, nothing sounds exciting, right? I think we all have felt that way. If we haven't, you're probably lying to me. Come on, we all have, right? Some of you maybe not yet, but you will. You'll hit your funk, and it's fine. I have go-tos, though, when I'm feeling the funk. And right now, I'm kind of, well, I shouldn't say this because I haven't had time, but if I really think about it, I'm kind of in a funk myself. Like, I need to finish Batman. I need to finish Witcher. But I know that they're big commitments, and I need to be sitting there for a long time. And I just kind of go, ugh, I could do all that. Or go knock out a rift in Diablo 3. Or a quick match in Heroes. Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's go-to games that are just quick, get in, get out, have some fun. Spelunky is a great example of this. I go to that all the time, too. So I kind of have a list of those kinds of games. And the way I handle a funk is to let it just kind of happen. Let the funk come. Let it do what it's going to do. Get it out of your system. And then move past it. It's fine. It's not the end of the world. You're not going to hate video games. And hey, let's say in the off chance that you do hate them, you're sick of them, and you've decided, you know what, that's the thing of my past, I don't want to play them again. All right, that's fine, too. It's not for everybody. You know? I used to love playing basketball. I don't do that anymore. Don't even really care about it much anymore. I don't even watch the NBA like I used to. Like, I don't care anymore. Doesn't make me a bad person. Just means my interests have changed. If your interests shift away from video games temporarily or permanently, it's all right. No judgment here, man. It's all fine. Anyway, that's what I'm thinking, and I'm sticking to it. Let's wind it down, shall we? Went a little long today, but I think that's probably fair since I haven't had a show in a while. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. Everything there that you need to know, right there, right in front of your face. Easy to get. Go get it. It's great. Boopshow@gmail.com is the email address. Support us at patreon.com/frogpants. Much, much appreciated, those who are supporting the show. Thank you so much if you are. And if you haven't, consider it. If you find the show valuable, would really love it if you could. Helps me make shows, and I like making them. That's at patreon.com/frogpants. Phone number is 801-471-0462. Leave a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. That's 801-471-0462. Find me on Twitter at Boop Show or at Scott Johnson. Either or both, maybe, is the way to go there. I think it's going to do it. Guys, check it out. I have music for you. I know I do that every time, but I got something special for you. My friend Andrew Allen, who makes all kinds of cool music on the Coverville Records label with my buddy Brian Ibbett, does amazing work, and his work with video games is some of my favorite. His Free Play album is still probably my favorite, the actual music that he's done, although this new Star Wars one he just did is freaking amazing. Anyway, I think he's super talented. His area of focus is mostly jazz, but he's got such a geeky twist to this stuff that I just love it. And he sent me a version of the Mortal Kombat film theme from the mid-90s, and it's just called Mortal Kombat, The Theme by Andrew Allen. And it's awesome. I don't know if this is going to be a part of a compilation or not at some point, but you get to hear it here. If you haven't heard it before, well, then you'll hear it here first. I'm going to play it for you now. I'll be back on Monday. Yes, that's right. Monday. It's only Saturday now. Only 2 days to go until you get another show. And then you get another one on Thursday. I'm back on track, damn it. So suck on that, naysayers. I'm here. I'm back. I'm with it. I'm in. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. And I'll see you then. We'll be right back. show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.